Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. We've been talking about a journey of faith. First, we talked about Mary and Joseph's journey of faith and how you got two people, one young girl who's pregnant by the Holy Spirit and then the guy who she was betrothed to be married to, both taking a lot of heat, man. They're in the perfect will of God, yet the world's looking at them and they're going, she's pregnant and he's probably the father, you know? I mean, so they're both taking all this flack. So the whole first message was, we got to be careful how we judge people. You know, like in the video, there's people that got all kinds of past, all kinds of history that God is trying to reach. But Mary and Joseph were in the perfect will of God, yet to the world, they looked like they were these horrible people. You know, think about it. So then we went into last week, we talked about the wise guys and their journey. We learned that the wise men weren't at the they weren't at the Bethlehem manger scene. They weren't there. They didn't get there till year or so later, maybe 2 years later. And then we talked about the gifts that they brought, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. The gold meaning Jesus was going to be king, that kings exchanged in gold. And then the frankincense was what they burned in the temple as part of the high priest of the temple, and that Jesus was going to become our high priest. And then we talked about the myrrh, which symbolized Jesus' death and him dying on the cross for each one of our sins. So I thought it was powerful. But this week, I want to share with you God's journey of faith on Christmas. How many of you guys know that God had to have faith? That God had to believe that if he first and foremost became a man and sent himself to the earth, that people would believe in the message of the gospel and that they would actually accept Jesus in their life. See, God did all of that believing in his journey of faith was that if I go, they'll believe. And not everybody does. And I want to look at that today. You know, Jesus made the journey of becoming a man, and that was one of the greatest gifts the world's ever seen. You know, do you know that your pastor didn't always believe in God? You know, we always think, you know, the pastor came out of the womb, you know, with one hand in the air worshiping, you know, Jesus, you know, right? You know, no, I was a selfish kid. I know none of you guys have ever been a selfish kid, right? None of you ever had a selfish kid or known a selfish kid either, right? But I was a selfish kid. I was always seeking my own way, seeking my own desires, and going after my own pattern in life. I was always going after what it is that I wanted to do. Can anybody say amen? So I was looking for my own answers in life. I had my own plan, and it didn't have anything to do with God. I had a fairly normal childhood. I wouldn't look at it and call it traumatic. I wouldn't look at it and call it glorious either. But, you know, I even attended church as a kid at the Cocoa Presbyterian at the local vacation Bible school. I can remember, you know, chasing girls around on the playground, all the things that kids do at church. They go and, you know, meet and, you know, fall in love and all that stuff. You know, you guys remember your first crush, right? So powerful. But, you know, think about this. I went from that as I kept growing to becoming a little more rebellious and a little more self-centered. And then I became a teenager. Somebody say teenager. Yes. You know, I started drinking, started doing drugs. I started doing some crazy stuff. Still never seeking to know God in my life, okay? So I was what God would have called somebody that was just out there. And we're all like that too. You know, the world is like that. There are a lot of people that are out there. There's a lot of people that are looking for God in all these different ways, and they're seeking to find that missing piece. There's this you know, they call it that God-shaped hole in all of us, right? There's a song about that. But, you know, we're all looking to try to figure that out. But I lived my life without God for 21 years. 21 years. Some of y'all lived your life longer than that without God. You know, but I started singing heavy metal music, started walking in some serious darkness there at the end. But, you know, the world's looking for something. And I was looking for something. You know, what I couldn't find in the world, I found in Jesus. But the world's out there. There's all these false religions. You know, we've got Buddha. He's out there waiting to bring anybody in, you know. And every time I go get Chinese food, man, you know, that sometimes they'll put the little stuff out by him, man. One time there was a donut out there, man. I was like, man, I'm kind of hungry, man. I started eating that donut, man. They're like, what are you doing? You don't touch Buddha's donut. It's like, whoa, I thought it was just out. I didn't realize they put stuff by there, right? I didn't really eat Buddha's donut. I'm just kidding. It's all for dramatic effect, but it was good though, wasn't it? It was good, wasn't it? You were right there. I could see you. You were hanging by every thread of that moment. But, you know, then there's the Hindu gods. We talked about Kali. We've preached on that and some of the different ways that works. But then there's the ones that are a little more closer to looking like they're Christian, you know, the Jehovah's Witness. You know, then there's the Mormons, and all of these are false religions. And you know, as we keep going, you can see even farther that, you know, then there's the agnostics, okay? You know what the agnostics are, right? Anybody? Everybody? A couple of you? You don't know what an agnostic is? Okay, so an agnostic is a person who believes that nothing is known or can be known on the existence or the nature of God. They're like, yeah, there's something out there, but, you know, I don't really know what it is, and I'm not really looking to find out. So I'm just going to ride this thing out, call myself agnostic. And then there's the atheist, you know. They're like just blatant, yeah, I don't even believe there's a God. I don't believe anything about that. I don't want to, you know, I'm not seeking anything. I'm just living my life, and when I die, that's it. It's just over, you know, which is kind of a hopeless ending, you know, in many ways. It's like, live while you can, while you're here, because at the end of it all, there's nothing else. We know that's not true. But, you know, then you've got the Satanist as well. You know, I've always wondered about the Satanist. They're like, yeah, I don't believe in God. I'm a Satanist. It's like, the Bible is all about God and Satan, man. So you got to have one to have the other. So what are you talking about? You don't believe in God. You live for, you know, Satan instead. It's just like, people are crazy. But, you know, here's what it all boils down to. Think about this. I know my hand talker, sorry. But everybody's looking for an alternative for everything else but God, you know? They're like, where is God? When where's the alternatives? And we've got to be, you know, looking at what is it with God and how he pulls all of this together in one gift at Christmas time, man, and wipes away all of our sin, wipes away everything. You know, because the world is looking for alternatives, but there are no alternatives to God in your life. They're all going to leave you empty, and you're still going to be seeking and searching and trying to find peace, because Jesus is peace. You can't have peace without Jesus. He is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. It's wild, but we're out there, we're looking, we're trying to find, we're trying to fill these holes in our lives with drugs and alcohol and false religions and, you know, relationships and other people and all these things. It's all about the gift of his son. It was given at Christmas time. But people who aren't interested in the Lord want alternatives. So I want to look at this gift of God's son today. Can we just look at that and break it down and just take a good look at it? Because Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's this gift that is happening. It's the gift of God. What is that? It's eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's eternal life. You know, in eternal life, everybody thinks, oh yeah, when I die, I get to go to heaven and that's eternal life. No, the Bible says the kingdom of God is at hand. God is wanting you to live in eternal life right here, today, right now, in this life. You're a dual citizen of heaven and earth when you become a Christian and you are walking in eternal life. That's why you can be healed in your body. That's why you can, you know, be blessed in your finances, because the kingdom of God is moving in your life now. Now faith is. You know, here's the secret. You know, the world hasn't always believed in God, in Jesus Christ as God. But Jesus has always believed in us. You hear me, right? The world and people and even you in your life haven't always believed in Jesus Christ as God, but he has always believed in you. He believed in you so much that he became a man. He, being found in the form of God, became a man and came to the earth and was born through a virgin and lived his life on this world to become a sacrifice for you. You see, God's journey of faith was this. He was believing in you so much that you would accept the gift of his son, that he trapped himself in a human body for all of eternity, so that you could be set free. That is the journey of God's faith. He had to have faith in us that we would believe in the gift of his son. He's like, you're talking in circles, Pastor. You're talking Jesus, then you're talking the Father and, you know, the Holy Spirit. So I want to look at God's journey a little bit, and I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the Trinity. Say the Trinity. You know, it's a pastor's biggest nightmare is having to teach people on the Trinity, right? It's like, the Trinity, yeah, God in three persons. Yes, he's one, but he's three, but he's one, but he's three, but he's one, but he's three. You know what I mean? So I want to take a little stab at that today. You guys ready to go on a little Trinity journey? All right, say Trinity journey. Why does God exist in three persons? What do you think the answer is? It's because it took three persons of God to bring us to completion so that we could have a relationship with him. He exists in three persons for us, not for him. Think about this. Look at this. You see, we needed a father. We needed a savior, and we needed a helper. He's God, but he's in three persons. Why? Because we needed three. It took three persons of God to complete the redemption process, the process of restoring us back to who we were going to be in God's kingdom. Think about this. So we needed a heavenly father to be our leader, right? We needed to be led by our father. 1 John 3:1 says this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." As children, we need to have a father. "Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." You know, who did God show his love to? Us. He commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son and Christ died for us. Hence, the need for a savior. So God, the Father, sent his son because we needed a savior. So Jesus, like, so God's like, I will send my son. So we needed a savior. That's in John 1:1-4. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." That's Jesus. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. This is big, man, if you stop and think about it. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, God already knew we were going to sin when he put the tree in the garden. You know that. We've talked a little bit about this at different times throughout different messages. But, you know, the Bible says that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world, that God already knew he was going to need to exist in three persons because you were going to need a savior, because he wanted to create true love, and to have true love, you have to have free will. And in order to create free will, God had to put those trees in the garden knowing we were going to eat of it. He wasn't shocked. You know, he wasn't like, oh, they ate the tree. He put it there knowing they were going to eat of it. But he had to create free will to create true love. And he wanted people that were going to love him because they wanted to, not because they had to. Right? You seeing this? Okay, so we needed a savior now. Jesus, God is existing as our savior, and he's redeeming us from the sin that created free will, that caused us to rebel, that Jesus is now restoring us from, and we get to love God because we get to, not because we have to. Now, not everybody's going to make that choice, hence the alternatives that we talked about with the other religions and the other ways. They're going to look for other alternatives so that they don't have to come under this process of being redeemed by God and purchased back by the blood of Jesus. But, you know, it says in John 1:17, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God that has been given to all of us. Your sin is not separating you from God unless you choose not to accept the gift of his son, which was the greatest gift ever given that Christmas morning in that manger. So let's look at the Holy Spirit. We need to talk about him just for a minute too, because he's awesome. You know, he was welcome here today, and he's always welcome here. But, you know, we needed a helper. You see, it wasn't enough that God our Father, and he's directing us, and now we needed to be set free from our sins, and now Jesus has become our Savior. But you know what? That's great. Now, if all we needed was just to be saved, then the moment you gave your life to Jesus, you'd just shoot up to heaven, right? But see, God saw that we were going to need a helper, and he became the third part of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. And where do you think the Holy Spirit is at right now? He's right here on the earth. He's not in heaven. Is the Father here? No, he's in heaven. Is Jesus here? No, he's in heaven. But where's the Holy Spirit? He's here. He's on the earth as our helper. He's helping us. He's showing us how to walk this thing out called life. Why? Because the process of God, you know, restoring us wasn't just so that we could be restored. He restored us so that we could therefore take the greatest gift that was ever given on that Christmas, you know, time, if it was Christmas time. We don't even know that for sure, but it's the time we've chosen to celebrate it. But if he took that gift and he wanted us to share that gift with the world, think about it. He wanted us to share the gift of Jesus with the world. And that's why we need a helper. That's why God exists as the Holy Spirit, to help us not just to experience God, but to actually share Jesus with others. So what was God's greatest act of love? Think about it. The greatest act of love in all of human history was God taking on human flesh, becoming a man, being born in Bethlehem's manger, and ultimately going to the cross to die for your sins. There's a lot happening in that picture that, you know, it just isn't, you can't even fathom what was really happening when God became a man for the sole purpose of dying for you. There's so much I could share about this. I mean, I could teach you for hours on this. Do you realize that Jesus was born of a virgin, and the blood that was in Jesus' body was the same blood that was in Adam's body before he sinned? That's why he's the second Adam. He's recognized as the second Adam. So therefore, there was no sin on his blood. So when his blood was shed for you, it washed you clean. It gave you back the completeness of being the way you were before they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I didn't share that in the first service. You guys are special. All right, let's read this in Philippians, and then we're not going to beat the Baptist to Sunnies, but we're getting close. We're going to make it. You guys are doing really good. Let's look at Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Okay? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He was God, but made himself of no reputation by taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He became a human. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of what? Jesus, every knee should bow, on those on heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You can't make this stuff up. Are you seeing the picture of God's journey of faith? He put it all out there, became a man in hope and faith and believing that you would make the decision to accept him, to believe on him, and to be redeemed and purchased by him and have a full-blown life that only God could give you. This is good. You know, but the story doesn't end with him just becoming a man. We have to take it all the way. Jesus was born and he lived his life for God. He's saying, I want to be your example of how to do life. I want to show you as a man how a man should live under the blessing of God. So what did he do? He went about healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast demons out of people. Why? To show you that you're supposed to be doing the same thing. He took the gift of his life and he poured it out for people. And he's saying the same thing to us today. Pour your life out for others. It's not just about you getting saved, because the minute you get saved, you'd be gone if that was all there was to it. No, now I want to show you how to take up your cross and follow me and be the same thing. Jesus said, the things I've done, you'll do, and even greater things will you do, because I'm going to the Father and I'm sending you a helper to show you what it is I have for you to do so that you can go into the world and take everybody back. Win them back, bring them into my kingdom and into my love and into my power, and watch their lives be changed and transformed just like mine was 34 years ago. You see, God's faith, his journey of faith, produces salvation, produces lives changed by Jesus. People believing in the gift of Jesus is everything. It's what it's all about. Acts 4:12 says this, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. God's journey of faith was putting Jesus out there and going, I'm believing they're going to believe in my son and accept him and his gift of salvation. Acts 13:38-39. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everybody who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Ten commandments aren't going to do it. You can't keep them. Anybody here ever kept all the Ten Commandments? Anybody? Because if you think you have, you've actually committed one of them. The Ten Commandments were just given so we would recognize our need for a Savior, the second member of the Trinity. And then through that, we would accept Jesus, and he would introduce and be the one who baptizes us and fills us with the Holy Spirit, our helper.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on.
I just know Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. I just know Jesus is my God.
Love rock music? Love Jesus? If we got the place for you, join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life or call 321-749-7234. The venue is located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you.
Hope you're enjoying Turn the Light On. For the remainder of this message or any other messages, go to Lighthouse Christian Church at Merritt Island on YouTube. Once again, thanks for turning the light on.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.